Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I'm back. Let's go.
Woo! 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 I am back, niggas. Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong. Just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Okay, Hope. Okay, man. The caller number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or so. But before I do any of this, right? Like, I got to set this off right because I just got back into the kitchen and I'm going through a crazy situation at this point in time. So 4 years ago, on the same date, my cousin Tracy had passed away while I was in Vegas. 4 years later, the same day, my cousin Mackie, Brave Boy, passed on the same day while I was out in Vegas. So I want to send this shout out and dedicate this show to my cousin Mackie. Moment of silence, Mackie Brave Boy. All right, let me get into this show, man. I got to get back in here, get into the groove. I'm jet lagged out. I got to keep that mojo going. I got to keep my energy, my spirit high, man. Knowing my family was, well, my family still always supporting me while I'm in here. So I got family in the building right now for sure, calling out of the Nevada area where I just was, shared a meal with them, had to pull the gloves out, take off the blazer, loosen up the tie, play a couple games out there. Arkeezy, a.k.a. Mr. King, welcome to the brunch on a Sunday morning. How are you feeling?
Thomas, I'm feeling real good, man. It's Sunday morning. It's bright and early. You know what I'm saying? About that 8:02 a.m. to be specific type time out here in the valley. So excited to be a part of what's going down inside Sports City. And it's been a minute since I've been on the brunch, man. So, look. It's all because of you, bro. So if it goes sideways, I'm putting cases all on you in Sports City.
King Kong ain't got on me, okay? You hear me?
Yeah.
You ain't going to get that bag, Jake. You ain't going to get that bag, Jake. I'm going to get that bag. Okay, let me. He got me quoting one of my favorites. I can't even lie. Right now, that might be my favorite actor. Right now, he might be my favorite actor. I had to think about that. Okay, I got another one of my co-hosts in the building, calling out of Connecticut herself. Aaron G is in the building. Aaron, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good, Ty. Wish I was just starting my day. I'm about halfway through it with work, but happy to take a break and good to have you back from Vegas. Missed you while you were gone, and can't wait to get at some of the stuff going around in the sports world today with you guys.
Okay, so we're going to get through the top of the sport, you know, kind of appetize this thing out and then get into the entree, which everybody loves so much. And now that we are in front of week 16 and this NFL season is basically, well, at least the regular season is coming to a close. So this makes it even more interesting that people are fighting for their playoff lives. So we will be getting into that as well. First and foremost, let me get some of this stuff out of the way. In boxing, Jermell Charlo regains his title by technically knocking out Tony Harrison, in which Tony Harrison beat Jermell just a little while ago. And if people, I need you to do this, even if you may not be in the boxing like that, go to YouTube and watch the presser, the press conference before the fight, before the weigh-in. These two were going at it. They almost fought. This was no act. Like, they were really about to fight on stage. And they know they couldn't hit each other because they'd lose the money. But these two were, it was just a hood conversation. and it started getting testy, and it basically sold the fight. And watching Jermell win his fight this Saturday and watching his brother win a few weeks before, I think that was all the energy that he needed to go in there and get rid of Harrison, in which he didn't leave it to the judges to take it from him because Harrison won off of a decision in the first fight. And Charlo ended up knocking him out in the 11th or being stopped by the referee. And epic closure. Definitely all of the excitement in that fight. And they did almost get to the 12th round, but the way that he stopped them, it was epic. It was one of those old school, and I hate to, date myself, but it was like one of those Hagler-Hearns or Sugar Ray type fights. Like, that welterweight is dangerous, whether it's super welterweight where they are or the normal welterweight where, Bud Crawford and company are, but boxing is still trying to hold its weight. And Floyd, at the beginning of the year, 2020, Floyd is saying that he's coming back, so I'm wondering when Floyd fights. That's quick. I'm going to get that out of the way. I don't know if you guys want to say anything about the boxing situation or I can keep on rolling.
I think it brings a whole new element. Like you said, this wasn't just a fight. This was like a real fight with real bad blood and history behind it. And having been firsthand to see a lot of fights, both MMA and boxing, it brings to me as a fan just another level of excitement, another level of intensity. And you can tell there is no love lost between these two. I'm glad that they kept it together and didn't start beating on each other before the bell sounded, so we were able to get the fight off and see it fight. But I was definitely into the fight, definitely more into the outcome because of the history with these two guys and all the talk coming in.
Yeah, and like I said, if you have not seen the fight, go first off, you can go to ESPN.com, right, and see the picture that they have. If this isn't a bludgeonous punch that they have him, Jermell, connecting on Harrison, it's ridiculous that he was catching him all night with that punch. But just if you watch the presser and see how wild this energy was before this fight, and then this fight went down, and then just seeing how Charlo was taking care of business and was not playing with Harrison this time, the hype was there, the fight was there as well. Everything matched, and Harrison actually lost the belt. And knowing that both of these Charlo twins have been taking care of business, hanging on to their championship belt, I like that. I like the way that these two, they conduct themselves well. And now that they're growing up, they got a little testiness to them as well. So it's good. It's cool. I like it for Bob. So this is going into the start of the year. This is going into the start of the year. Okay. Let me get past the bottom situation and get into top 25, just to do this quickly. I hate to do this, people. In the college basketball world, right, it is not safe if you want to be ranked number one. Don't do it. If you want to play ball, right, have every game be tough. Win games by, 2 points. Win by, 1 or 3. Don't go out there blowing everybody out. And you're starting out 9-0 or 9-1, they're going to put you at number one. They're going to take your head off. Kansas already lost earlier this year at the number one spot. They try to come over here to the East Coast and go into Philadelphia playing those Villanova Wildcats, where I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to still claim it. The Big East is the best conference in college basketball, even though people try to throw the ACC. I beg to differ. Villanova takes Kansas out 56-55, in which this game came down to the last shot, and the shot was missed. And Villanova knocking off the number one ranked Kansas Jayhawks. I don't know how to look at this situation with Bill Self, because Bill Self is kind of, to me, in comparison to another team that lost this Saturday in the Kentucky Wildcats. Both of them were Wildcats. Well, I know Villanova won, but the Wildcats of Kentucky, they lost as well in a game up against Ohio State, in which Ohio State was in Lexington to pull that one off. But Bill Self and Calipari, to me, they know how to recruit. They know how to get the top All-Americans across the country. And somehow, some way, they always fall short. Between the two of them, they only have a national championship apiece. With all of the pieces that they get, they should at least, to me, I feel like they should have more. At least two. I feel like that's just one step up. But, they coached all this while, and they've only been able to attain one apiece. So, Kansas, I know that you guys are tough. I know that this was tough going across country. Well, not even across country, but they're telling from the Midwest. and coming to Philadelphia, basically East Coast, and losing that game by one. Gonzaga wins theirs in a clear, crushing blowout. I just want to do this quickly with top 25. Like I said, Ohio State won their game by six. Oregon won 84-78. Memphis. And, before I go past Memphis, this is crazy because Penny Hardaway, let me say it right. I don't know if he goes by Penny anymore, but Anthony Hardaway went to his alma mater and turned this thing around. Anthony, I don't know if y'all ever heard of him. I'm old school. Okay, well, I don't know if they've ever heard of him, but Penny turned it around. I don't want to even weigh it off of this game because they beat the hell out of Jackson State 77-49. But Penny went down there, changed this up. They only had one loss on the season, 7-0. Penny, you better calm down because if you fall into that number one spot, that could be a crash and land. Auburn won their game 74-51. Colorado wins on a buzzer beat up against Dayton that went to overtime 78-76. Michigan crosses Presbyterian 86-44. Michigan State wins their game up against Eastern Michigan 101-48. St. John's upsets Arizona in the desert 70-67. Butler wins their game up against Purdue 70-61, in which Purdue was taking care of business, and then Butler just got wind of this game and took over. Florida State wins their game 66-60 up against South Florida. San Diego State wins their game against Utah 80-52, and they blew Utah out. And San Diego State is now 12-0. Tennessee wins their game up against Jacksonville State 75-53. Texas Tech wins up against University of Texas Rio Grande 68-58. And to round out the top 25 yesterday, West Virginia beats Youngstown State 75-64. I'm not going to lie, college basketball is good right now, and I may be talking a little junk because my boys are finally turning around. Patrick, I'm watching you. Mac McClung, I've already got a support because you were a Hoyer, but now I'm turning into a fan slowly. Like, don't do this to me, and I know this is a team that they're supposed to beat in Stanford, but this guy is cooking. He is cooking, so they're on a streak right now. Hopefully the committee tries to rank you guys, but I doubt it. I think you're going to have to win in Big East play before they start giving you guys some credit. Anything else before I get away from the top 25 and start to dive into Saturday's games and get into the schedule of Week 16?
Just that I think this it's one of those years that I think it's really, like you said, exciting in college basketball. I love those years where there isn't a clear-cut, dominant number one team. As you said, right now it's a kiss of death to get that number one ranking. I mean, heck, even to make a jump up in the rankings. You know, Michigan goes from unranked to number four a couple weeks ago, loses their first game out. So it's just revolving doors right now, but it really makes me excited for March Madness this year because it looks like it really is wide open. It's anyone's to take. And I don't see one particular team emerging to be a dominant one at any point, but I think this trend will continue where you have a group of 8 to 10 really, really good teams with a lot of potential who, when they play their best ball, could beat any other team in the country. And that is all the makings for an exciting March, and I'm just ready to keep it moving and see how this unfolds.
Definitely, and I think I'm pretty sure conference play starts at the beginning of January. So once January starts, that's when you start to see the epic games and the battle that they're so comfortable with because they see each other twice a year in college ball. Okay, Royce, anything before I get away from this?
I mean, you know, the recent story I guess people were talking about was just the whole thing down in Memphis with James Wiseman. You know, the top recruit was there with Memphis, and, you know, him choosing to leave the school, leave the program as he was approaching his return where, you know, Memphis pretty much supported him, had his back, played him, despite, you know, the NCAA not wanting him to be able to play the games and participate. They had his back and supported him, and now he's decided that, you know, look, I think he's maybe a game or two out from returning to the court for the University of Memphis, and he's decided to shut it down and pretty much forgo the rest of this college season and just focus on preparation for the NBA draft. So I just thought that was an interesting dynamic. I don't know what to really say about it. I'm, I guess you could say maybe I'm probably a little disappointed in his decision. While I do understand it, and I understand that, you know, for some kids, you know, 1 year of college is just the route they have to take if they're not interested in, you know, traveling outside of the country and playing in the, somewhere else and getting paid while they wait to be drafted. Something has to change overall, and I think that's been a conversation, but no, I won't take up a lot of time, you know, with it. I just thought that's just an interesting dynamic. He is considered to be, you know, a top prospect, arguably a number one, number two pick in this upcoming draft.
Well, it's kind of like what Nick Bosa did with Ohio State before last year's draft, you know, choosing to sit out the rest of the season. A lot of people thought it was selfish, but just to preserve his health, preserve his body. And even though football is a more brutal sport, I mean, people don't realize how many injuries in basketball these guys start to kind of accrue over the years. You know, these are big boys, big bodies, and those little injuries start to add up. So I go back and forth between, you know, like what you said, it's just an interesting situation in that you've got a kid that has his future set up that, you know, could support his family for the rest of his life and has his meal ticket right in front of him. Meanwhile, you've got an institution that's supported him and given him a chance to even get to that level. And I think that part might, we don't need to get into it, but be why you're starting to see a lot of this pay for play talk coming about in college, because I do agree that they've got to, you know, rework the system, and especially in basketball, it just, you know, with the one and done, it's a revolving door, and there's got to be a better solution to this. So I'm kind of torn on the decision, but yeah, I had heard he was projected to go top three, and I don't know if there's more to the story, if there's a potential to re-injure anything, but I do think it's kind of sad to see these players walking out on their team, and but on the other hand, I get it.
It's tough to be in that scenario, man. It's really tough to know that you got potential to help a team accomplish the goal, or, you know, you go accomplish the goal that you set all your life since you were a kid and seeing what you can do at the end of the day. So
you wonder if you're going to see a Tua effect maybe in all sports. Yeah, like a lot of people think Tua kind of pushed it. I don't think the hip injury had anything to do with the ankle. It was just a fluke. But a lot of people thought he rushed it back and looked what happened to him. And I'm wondering, just with the timing, if that kind of scared anybody out there that was on the fence in any sport and just kind of snapped them back to reality. And you know, you realize you are human, and like you said, your dreams are at your doorstep, and what's the best route to make sure you get there safely and healthily.
Right.
Yeah. I can definitely relate to, you know, the, you know, if you injure a particular part of your body, especially lower extremities, I mean, all athletes are pretty much making their living off of their legs, you know, from the waist down, in the gray matter area, obviously 90% of what you think and 10% physically. Right. But, the body will compensate. And so whether it's a hip or if it's a knee or if it's an ankle, I mean, we don't tell our body to compensate. It just does it on its own. And, you know, things can happen. So I like we said, I get it. I understand why the mindset is I can get hurt anywhere, but if I get hurt or I pick up an injury, you know, working out or with my trainer, okay, but chances are that I shouldn't get hurt if I'm just doing individual skill work. I'm not banging against anybody. I'm not playing competitively. No one's hating. You know, nobody's attempting to sabotage my opportunity. There's no jealousy. Like, I get it. I understand. But there's got to be, like Aaron said, there's got to be a new solution, especially for these top prospects. And especially for the University of Memphis, the reason why I was touring with Memphis, they were playing so well. And to me, they looked like an easy Final Four team once you actually have him back on the court and playing the way he was playing in those first three games. Is like, okay, Memphis is going to to the show. Like, they're going to be one of the final four teams. I'd be surprised if they weren't. But now that he's made that decision, I'm not sure they still have, you know, that same makeup, but they can still pull it off. But anything's possible.
I think maybe the direction we're headed, and just kind of when I was looking into what happened with Tua and just factoring in where that affected his future and draft stock, you know, I know that there is options in some sports at some schools to obtain some sort of protection insurance, where if you have an athlete who comes into, let's say, you know, is the season and is projected to go in the first round in this particular sport, especially at the top of that round, where the school offers some sort of insurance that protects him if he were to get hurt in a game for the school, that would pay out. Obviously, it's not going to pay out like a pro contract and a number one pick, but it would pay out enough that, you know, any human being could definitely start a beautiful life with the amount of money we're talking, you know, $5 to $10 million and stuff like that. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting that they offered that. And in Tua's case, he did not have it. But maybe that's a direction we start to look in, and is offer these top athletes some sort of insurance and say, hey, listen, stay with us, play for the school, be a kid, be in college, get your degree, get your education. And God forbid something happens that's terrible, like, we still got you. We know these schools have the money to do it. And that might make it a little bit of an easier decision. And, you know, too, you have to remember, these are kids. Like, this kid's, what, 19 years old? And so it's not just him making this decision. He's probably got a lot of family, a lot of people weighing in and pressuring him one way or another. But, yeah, let's hope they find a better solution going forward that ultimately, at the end of the day, first and foremost, protects, you know, these student athletes and their well-being and what's best for them and their future.
Okay. Let me try to get away from this as best as possible, because I know we can go back and forth on this. First and foremost, I want to get into these Saturday games, right, that took place before we get into the rest of Week 16. The Houston Texans defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 23-20, in which this had to be the most craziest first half I've ever seen for it to end up being a tie score at the end of the first half. Jameis Winston threw three picks, and that's not, like, anything that I'm jumping at. Like, I can't wait to just start breaking them down. But it seems like this is always what's happening with Jameis. He throws a pick or two, and then he starts to get himself. He's almost like the new or the for-real Willie Beeman. And the Texans started to take advantage. The Texans started to take advantage, and then next thing you know, he got in the game, and it was like Al Pacino gave him that speech on the sideline, and he started to get them back in the game. They tied up 17-7, and then the Texans did what they could to pull away with the deciding field goal in the fourth quarter to win that game 23-20, in which it looks like it's going to pull the Buccaneers out of playoff contention. But for Bruce Arians to be an offensive mastermind, right, and you know, a lot of these coaches try to work their magic or mojo to try to work a system around the quarterback that helps them win or put them in position to be successful at all costs. Jameis Winston has to be the quarterback that has gotten like the 35th, the 36th, the 37th, the 38th chance at life in the NFL. It's like he makes good throws, he makes good decisions here and there, and he throws the crazy pick out of nowhere. And it's like, where did you see that at? Like, and to start the game off, he threw a pick six. It was like, what's going on? Like, why did this always happen? He ends up finishing the game with four picks and a fumble loss. So, like, this can't continue to happen. There's been other quarterbacks in the NFL that have lost their position or job, you know, riding the ship. And the worst thing about it is Jameis doesn't have somebody in his rear view contesting him down there at Tampa Bay. But that is the first game. I guess I'll openly break this one down and go around the kitchen. Aaron, I'll let you go first on this one. Your thoughts on the first game out of the hat with Tampa Bay winning the game up. Houston winning the game up against Tampa Bay 23-20.
I mean, you summed it up pretty well. It was kind of like what we've come to expect from Tampa Bay this season. They've been one of, in my opinion, the hardest teams to pick going into these games. And it's like, you know, they're like what Forrest Gump says, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with them. And it starts with Jameis Winston. You know, you've heard me refer to him as the gift that keeps on giving. And he was definitely in the holiday spirit yesterday. giving what I thought was an unimpressive looking Texans team that looks like they're starting to kind of, they're just feeling some of the length of the season in them. Watson looks banged up, you know, Will Fuller can't stay healthy. But I think that, you know, like you said, it was a typical Bucs game where Winston goes out, almost takes his team out of it from the jump. Then it's like the good Winston shows up, he wakes up, he gets them back in the game, rallies the team. It's a close game, yet somehow it seems like they always find themselves on the wrong end of the outcome when the game's over and lose another close one. And the thing about Bruce Arians, and I'm a big Bruce Arians fan, and I thought if there's anyone that could go down and reach Jameis Winston and kind of work with him and get the best version of Winston, it would be Bruce Arians. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that this is not his quarterback. And like you said, Ty, I think the key is that there is no one down there breathing down Jameis's neck. There is no one putting the pressure on him. And I think that I don't think he's done enough, let's just say, to earn, definitely to earn the starting job outright. And I can't imagine them wanting or being willing to open up the pocketbook, especially with some of these potential quarterbacks out there, like a Cam Newton or someone like that, who Bruce Arians has proven that if you give him a good veteran quarterback, he is an offensive mastermind, he is a good leader, and he gets his team to play hard. And I really would be surprised to see Jameis Winston back in Tampa next year. At the very least, if they have to bring him back, then let's get someone in there to really compete with him. But I think last night kind of just proved that he is just not reliable enough. He has had plenty of time to grow and to learn, and I don't think he has shown enough to prove himself a worthwhile investment. And I think secretly Bruce Arians is waiting for next year. He's got some really great pieces. The team's starting to come together. They have some good draft capital coming up. And I think Bruce Arians is going to get some sort of good veteran quarterback in there, maybe draft a young quarterback up and coming. But I think with Winston just kind of, in my opinion, secured his ticket out of Tampa Bay with yesterday's game. And should start, like I said, interviewing real estate agents and put that house on the market. And as for the Texans, you know, they kind of look like they're hobbling toward the finish line. They had that big win over the Patriots, which was a tough one to swallow. But other than that, they have not looked particularly impressive in the last several weeks and have, you know, benefited a lot, I think, more from the other teams in their division not playing well or failing to capitalize on opportunities like a Tennessee, you know, or an Indy with a 4-game losing streak. But I would not feel too confident about Houston going into the playoffs unless they can get healthy and kind of find that spark that they seem to have in the beginning of the season when they went into like Kansas City and lit it up, for example.
Okay. Would you like to add anything before we get away from this game?
Yeah, let me jump on, you know, I'm not the biggest, you know, football guy in the room, but look, I'm a master of the player card. That's where I hang my hat, and I can't help but see that really Jameis Winston's having a career year in touchdowns thrown at 31, but unfortunately, he's got a career year going at 28 total interceptions and a career year in sacks, you know, been sacked 46 times, and he's still got one game to tie his career high, 10 fumbles. Yeah. So I'm like, this is a starting quarterback, right, in the NFL?
No. What? Oh, my goodness. Like, oh, man. What? Go ahead, Dennis. I'm sorry. I didn't cut you off.
I'm just a little stunned. I mean, look, I don't want to. You got to understand. For me, part of it is I understand the history of the game of football. I understand that there was once a time where you rarely saw an African American quarterback. Okay, now that we're beyond that, I need you to perform at a standard level that every quarterback should be held to. It doesn't matter if you're African American or not at this point. And what I'm looking at is, like, don't make this hard for the next young minority coming up the ranks, whoever it is, wherever he or she, wherever he's from. But it isn't disappointing to see that this is a guy who's getting plenty of opportunities, obviously, but like as these guys both alluded to, maybe it's not competitive, you know, within the organization in terms of whether he's starting or fighting for his job. And sometimes people need a challenge, you know, to really sharpen themselves and their skills and their craft. And maybe it's too much too soon for Jameis Winston. Obviously, he's double digits, and most quarterbacks, you know, a lot of times I know they throw double digit, you know, interceptions. But man, almost a pick for every touchdown. It's
come
hard
on.
To win that way.
Come,
you know, almost 50 sacks. Like, what you don't know how to get rid of the ball. I mean, like, what is happening here? A lot of negatives. Where you need it to be held to a minimum.
Listen, you are cooking right now, and I'm ready to eat. Like, I don't even know how to measure this because, like the personal me don't like Jameis Winston because he's a Seminole, but I respect him because he won a national championship. He did well while he was in college, but he never transitioned into the NFL game. His backup is Ryan Griffin. You probably never heard of him. Me either. Like that's the crazy part. He went to Tulane. Tulane was never successful in college football. The backup behind him was probably Ryan Griffin was probably third string because behind him is Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert's on IR right now. So you mean to tell me that Jameis gets to play this poorly, Ryan Griffin, who only has 18 yards passing and probably a blowout game where he came in there and probably threw a pass, and Blaine Gabbert. The three of them I can name quarterback better than, and one of them that they are blackballing right now, that won't be able to get any play. You mean to tell me that they're going to be able to play, especially with a guy like Bruce Arians that can get the best out of any opportune quarterback at that point in time? I'm not buying this by any means. For Jameis Winston to be leading the league in interceptions and the way that he throws the interceptions, it's not like, okay, he'll throw a pick and it's like a step-for-step situation. It's like some of these interceptions are clear-cut passes to the defense. It's like, wait, what are you seeing? Why are you turning the ball over at this point in time? And the icing on the cake on this is like, wait, hold on. We're in playoff contention. When do you turn this around in your career? Like, this, Tampa Bay ain't always been a threat to at least be in the wild card or in the hunt. Like, or damn if I say if they win the NFC South, unless something crazy happens strategically. Last year they had Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson on the same team, and it did not work. They didn't even play 500 football. They didn't even play 500 football. So I don't know. I'm not buying too much of what they're dishing out. Bruce Arians, I can't. As much as I respect you as a sport mind or a football mind. Of course, you're a sport mind, but a football mind that everybody respects across the league. You got to pull the trigger on the situation. I'd be shocked. I'm not going to – and I don't even feel like saying this because I don't like to see no male or female jobless. I don't like to see this. But I'd be shocked if you guys bring Jameis back next year. I'd be shocked. If they get another quarterback in there or give him some competition, but they can't no longer try to be successful in the league knowing that the Panthers are going to end up turning their situation around. The Falcons, they're going to turn around the way that they look this year. And the Saints, until Drew Brees puts them cleats up, they're going to always be in your side. So, like, I don't know how this gets handled. Okay, so this conversation just got interesting. Calling out of Arizona, I have Mr. Silva, a.k.a. Nacho, in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Good morning. I'm feeling good.
Okay, so your thoughts on the first dish out of the NFL oven right now?
That would be the Texans at the Bucks. Neither team looked really good. I'll just stick on the topic at hand, not go back too much, and that's shame. Sorry, that's Eli Winston. The way that I see this is a team that the last 2 years and 1 year being last year used two quarterbacks throughout the year. if I'm not mistaken, is a top 10 offense. Statistically, putting up the yards, putting up the touchdowns. Now, when we get into the Winston aspect or the Eli aspect of it and the interceptions that come with it, that's when you, you know, pause, you know, cause for pause and just think about what the heck's going on and what you really have. And the fact that you could last year interchange quarterbacks, albeit not winning games, defensively need to step up. You got old guys like JPP out there who, for as old as he is putting up a performance, but how long can you rely on, you know, that? And you have no one really else stepping up to the gate. Hargraves is you know, it's just one of those things where you have to move or get better on the defense, because as of right now, it seems as if you can plug and play a quarterback and still have the same production. Now, again, it doesn't equate to wins because it's a team sport. You need all three aspects of the game. I think Bruce Arians, as good as he is on offense, just can't seem to get it down. Now, again, he's got his buddy from Arizona, Todd Bowles, down there, but I don't know if that is – the recipe for winning. So, again, I'm not with it. You know, the longer you keep Eli Winston on the team, the more you're going to have games where he puts up big numbers, lots of touchdowns, but he's equally amount giving the other team the ball 2, 3, 4 times a game. And you just can't do that in this league and sustain a career without a top-notch front four that can stop two of the greatest offenses of all time. If you don't have that, you're not going to be winning anything in this league.
Okay. I'm going to get into the next game because I know we're running into the games. and I got some people eating today. The next game that we have is the – and I got to say this. The Bills lose their game up against the Patriots in Gillette, up against the Patriots, 24-17. In which I'm not going to say that Brady looked phenomenal, but he did enough to beat the Bills. And for the 11th straight year, the Patriots have won the AFC East, right? So here goes the crazy part, because a lot of people say, oh, well, they're in a weak division, they're in a weak division. I agree. 100%, 1,000%. However many numbers I could put in front of that percent sign, this is a weak division. But this year, the Bills have played good ball. I cannot take away the effort that the Bills have played. Shout out to my cousin Thomas Powell. Rest in peace. He's a diehard Bills fan. He would have loved to see the way that these guys are playing ball. But this is to the media, and this is to the people that still have some type of qualm just because it's the Patriots. Please stop putting fuel to the fire just to give these guys something to play for. Either that defense that is no name or defense. I mean, it's names on the defense, but they're not the names that you always recognize on a day-by-day basis. And to give Brady something to play for, let him sleep. Like, let him sleep. Let him turn 43, turn 44, turn 45. Like, let him get old. Don't let him hear you guys say, oh, you know what? He ain't got it no more. He's falling. Like, and then he comes up with a big win up against a good defense. Like, the Bills are a good defensive team. Stopping the run and the pass, and still pulls us off to win the division again. Like, I don't know what else to say any longer. Like, he's going to do this until he wants to put his cleats up. He's putting up 10 wins a season. Who's not happy with 12 wins? If anything, he can end up with 13 wins next week. Like, I'll take 13 wins. Like who's what do you want? He's going to get older. Like, it's crazy that they give this guy gasoline to keep going. Even though the Bills did what they could, they made this tight and impressive. Allen had a good game as well. I can't take anything away from the Bills. The Bills did what they could do. They had the Patriots had to come back and win this game. Like, you know what I'm saying? They had to put up 11 points in the fourth quarter to take this game, too. So the Bills did what they could to try to win this division. But once again, to be the man, you got to beat the man. I throw this one around the kitchen quickly. Nacho, I'll let you go first. Your thoughts on the Patriots-Bills game, which the Patriots have notched their 11th straight AFC East title.
Just cements the legacy of Bill Belichick. The fact that he realized that he now has the quarterback he had at the beginning of his career, with the exception that he's not inept as a quarterback. At the beginning of his career, Tom Brady was, you know, Tom Brady. It was a sixth round pick for a reason. The measurables, the athletics, the brains, that all came with time, experience, and the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, by his side. So at the beginning of his career, those three Super Bowls were what? Tom Brady not turning the ball over, Tom Brady having one drive at the end of the game, and then a kicker winning it for him, or him throwing a game-winning touchdown. Majority of the time it was the kicker, albeit the GOAT, Adam Vinatieri. So it moves on to say that Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. He comes into the year knowing he needs to run the ball and keep the ball out of Mr. Tom Brady's hands as much as possible. I believe he doesn't. I believe he's – I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know he's not in the top of the league in attempts. So they needed to run the ball and play with a great defense. And we're talking about a defense that's the most, you know, they're winning by the most point differential of all time. And they're the least points allowed of all time. It's just Jesus. What else can you ask from the man other than, you know, win. And that's all he does. So, they keep it moving and they keep it pushing. The crazier thing, or I don't know, of all, Mr. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have never lost to the Bills at home. It's in their tenure, in Tom Brady's tenure, them together, head coach, starting quarterback, never ever lost to the Bills at home. And it's ridiculous. They have their number. And they know it. So, again, hats off again, Belichick. Can't wait to see what you do in the future. But man, Jesus Louise, I don't know how you can continue to do this again. Albeit in a soft division with a really soft schedule, but again, they play who they play, and now they have tape on the two best teams in the NFL who quote unquote beat them in a regular season game.
It's always something that they pick with these dudes. And it's like you're giving them more gas. Okay, keep feeding them. And then next you know, it's going to be middle of February. Like, yo, they won their seventh. Like, I don't even want to hear that. Like, I don't want to tell Brady that he won a seventh championship. Like, that's crazy. Okay, Royce, anything that you like to add to this before we – and oh, I got to get Aaron back in. But, Royce, anything that you like to add to this before I give it to Aaron as well?
I mean, just – my appreciation as a fan of the game, historically, I can remember as a kid, you know, late 70s, most of the 80s into like my high school years, the Patriots weren't really that good. If they had a good season, had a good back or a good quarterback or a good player and things of that nature. But in terms of collectively as a team and Super Bowl appearances and flat out domination for a decade or more, like, no, not at all. Absolutely not. And I never saw it coming. And when it arrived in the form of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and all the great players who have come and contributed, you know, on their legacy through their dynasty of success, man, there's too many people to name. And all you can do is just, like, respect it. Like, this is what America's team looks like. It's, you know, I understood as a kid that was what you talked about with the Dallas Cowboys, and as a kid I understood why they had wins, they had playoff appearances, they had Super Bowl appearances and Super Bowl victories. But now it really is the Patriots, man, and I just can't do anything but as a fan salute the New England Patriots, salute Tom Brady. Salute the genius of, you know, Belichick, too, in a sense. Take your quarterback, and if, in a sense, you kind of got to, you know, hide him by minimizing, you know, his attempts, fine. I mean, he's 40 years old. He's over 40, you know? Like, that makes perfect sense. He's still able. He's still willing. He's still knowledgeable. He can read the defenses and make the right reads and accurate throws. I mean, why break up the band? You keep it riding until the wheels fall off. So salute to the Patriots.
the wheels ain't gonna fall off. That's the worst part about it. Aaron, I know you sitting back there licking your chops. Your boys hung on to win the game. They had to put up 11 points to get this game. Your thoughts on the Patriots winning the division for the 11th straight year?
You know, I think I could go on and on about this and have – first of all, I'd like to say that it's nice to hear people just finally just give them respect. Of course, there's things that could be knocked about Brady, about Belichick, about their approach. Say what you want to say. But at the end of the day, what they're doing is remarkable. It's groundbreaking. It will never be done again. It will never be repeated. And I guess here's what I'm going to say about this. I mean, it's like to the point where you realize Tom Brady and Belichick, Brady is beating the kids of players. He played Devin Bush week one of the season when they thrashed the Steelers. He played against Devin Bush's father his first couple years in the league. I mean, that in the quarterback position where, you know, historically after 35, you're considered a dinosaur. It's just remarkable what this guy's doing. I don't care who he has around him or how the defense is playing. He's still getting the job done. And what I thought was kind of appropriate about yesterday's game is it kind of summed up their tenure. It is kind of what the type of game that has been their trademark and has made them great. And here's the thing, you can rip on their division. Is it a weaker division? Yes, yes it is. But how many teams consistently win those games? Every year, every time. They win the games they're supposed to win. You know, you have even like the 49ers a couple weeks ago going down and losing to the Falcons. You have teams that are these great teams that usually lose games that they shouldn't lose once or twice a season. So, yes, it's a weak division, but these are still NFL teams. The Dolphins are clearly playing hard. The Jets, both of those teams have some respectable wins on their records, and the Patriots have beat them, thrashed them, beat them handily. And at the end of the day, they are 12-3, which is, like you said, Ty, as a Lions fan, I know you'd be lying if you said you wouldn't sign for that right now. And here's the thing, if we are 12-3, where I will admit, and I'm sure Tom Brady would be the first to admit, he has pretty much sucked for the better part of, and excuse my language, but that he has not been your typical Tom Brady for most of the season, and they are still 12-3. And here's the thing. It's not like he's had this big running game to rely on. The running game, if you ask me, has underachieved and underperformed this year, especially considering the way they performed in the playoffs last year and how they did get that team to the Super Bowl and how they did rely heavily on it. So somehow, even though he's not playing his best ball, he has nothing on offense that's consistent. I understand the defense is balling. I mean, they're great. They're going to be key. They're who they need to ride to the Super Bowl. I mean, they're so good. You have Stephon Gilmore playing safety at the end of the game, like new positions. They have players that can play all sorts of positions. Like they can mix it up. They can do whatever is asked of them. And they are human beings, so they're going to give up plays like they did to John Brown. They're going to get beat, but they have proven that they are reliable, and it is one of the best defenses that Brady's had behind him in a long time. But at the end of the day, when we were down, and like you said, Ty, we need 11 points to come back in the fourth quarter and win the game. Like, no big deal. No surprise. As a Patriots fan, it's just you have a different viewpoint of games in that situation because you've seen it done time and time again. Year after year, the two things that stay consistent are Brady and Belichick. All the pieces around them are constantly changing, constantly moving, some better than others. But at the end of the day, everyone watching that game, with the exception of some few hopeful Buffalo fans and your Patriots haters, knew that Brady was going to, just like he did in the Super Bowl last year, when it's needed, he was going to step up and lead that team down the field and put up enough points on that scoreboard to come out of that game with a W. And that is what has made him Brady and has what has made them great. They're not usually flashy. They're not, you know, typical of the year where they had Randy Moss. They have a lot of blue collar type wins where they just get it done, but that's what makes them great. So I don't think that, and I strongly believe that they're working, they're cooking, as you like to say, Ty, and they've got something planned for the playoffs. I know that they know that they cannot go rolling into Baltimore, Kansas City, and just rely on the defense and get walk out of there with a win with 17, 20 points. So I feel like they got some dishes that they've got cooking up in their kitchen back in Foxborough, and they're going to go into Miami. They're going to beat Miami next week, get that bye, which is crucial for Brady and company to have in the playoffs, and that we're going to see a different offense come out in the playoffs. Somehow that running game will step up. And like I said, it's a good chance, even though they have not looked great and they've looked very beatable. And to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. And I think that they have a lot more yet to offer offensively this season, and Brady will find a way to get it done. So haters going to hate, say what you want, weak schedule. They cheat. They this, they that. Every year at the end of the year for the last 20 years, we're still talking about them and they're still relevant, and that doesn't happen by luck or by being favored. That happens because they're consistent and they're good and they deserve the respect that they're giving. Winning 11 division titles in a row in an era with the salary cap of what's supposed to be parity is remarkable. And like I said, what we are seeing done will never be done again.
Okay.
And that's all I have to say.
I got you. Okay, the next game we have is the Get Your Popcorn Ready game, and that was the Rams and the Niners. And believe me, people, this game truly did go back and forth. The way that the Rams were playing early in this game, I thought the Rams were going to take this from the Niners. And in here, because Jimmy Garoppolo, and speaking of the Patriots, this guy fell out of the Patriot tree. As much as Belichick wanted to hang on to Jimmy Garoppolo and Kraft wanted to keep Brady, he is going step for step with these Patriots, going 12-3 right now. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this Patriots. The Niners season or the success that they're up to, the game that they've won. But who would have thought this much of a turnaround would have happened, especially with the defense, the way that they're playing, and a lot of people have been in and out of this roster as well. The Niners knocked the Rams out of the playoff contention, so that actually makes that even better. And with Jared Goff had some things to say at the end of the season, basically saying that he was sick to his stomach about the Rams' effort. But to be in fairness of, to back Goff a little bit, this wasn't the Todd Gurley season that I'm used to, at least in the past two or three seasons that we've seen Todd Gurley run the ball. And his offense had its spark. They did what they needed to do, having 28 points at the end of the third quarter as well, and being up on this 49 team in California as well. Well, they're both in California, but being in the Bay, and the Niners actually ended up putting up 10 points in the fourth to take this game. But in the same step for step right now, Garoppolo was supposed to be the heir apparent by Tom Brady. He's doing his own thing in California with the Niners. I don't know how this pans out in the NFC. The NFC is wide open. Just like Aaron hit on, and AFC is two teams. It's the Chiefs, it's the Ravens, it's the Patriots. I mean, there's other teams that are in the running, but at least your strong suited teams are the three that I just mentioned. In the NFC, I think any team can make a run at the NFC Championship, including either or. I really don't want to say the Eagles unless some of these pieces come back, but even the Cowboys, the way that they're playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have pieces to get it done. But this Niners team, incredible turnaround, especially with the pieces that they had from last year going into this season. Jimmy Garoppolo tore his knee up and came back and he's tearing the league up. So, that's pretty impressive for what the Niners are up to. They could probably finish this season 13-15, depending on their game next week in Seattle. Anything you guys would like to say before we get into the remainder of the game for Week 16?
I think you hit the nail on the head with the Rams. Jared Goff needs Todd Gurley. He needs the run game. He needs. He can't win it on his own. He's not the type of quarterback that can put the team on his back and pull a Tom Brady out. You know, he needs that run game. They need Todd Gurley back, or they've got to, reestablish that run game. That pick six killed them. I thought that was the game right there. They didn't look the same after that. Goff didn't look the same once, especially the 49ers shut down those bootleg plays. They struggled to adjust. And then in terms of Garoppolo, I've been very skeptical. I think he'd been overhyped and he hadn't, done much to deserve all the accolades he's been getting. But, I mean, I'll give him credit. He stepped up when he needed to step up. He's led his team back to some come-from-behind wins. But I need to see this guy do it when it matters in the postseason with the pressure on. before I can really buy in and be a full believer that he is the heir apparent to Brady or the next best great quarterback in this league, because it's a whole different ball game once you get to January and February football.
Anything else from either Nacho or Royce?
No, I'm good.
Okay, the dead air helps me. Okay, so let me get into the remainder of the week 16 games and come up with predictions, picks, and things of that nature. The first game that we have on slate is the Jaguars versus the Falcons. This is an interesting game because of the way that the Jaguars went into Oakland and stopped the Raiders and the way that the Falcons went into Santa Clara and stopped the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know which way to go with this game. I will throw this around the kitchen first. Aaron, your thoughts, Jaguars and Falcons?
I mean, talk about a game that coming into the season you would have thought would have had huge playoff implications going, you know, even though they're different conferences. Here are two teams you would have thought would have been really in the mix for the playoffs at this time, maybe playing for seeding, something like that. Hard to find a lot of interesting storylines in this game, to be honest. You know, the Falcons have shown some life. They might have just done enough to save Dan Quinn's job. I thought he was on his way out of town, sure thing, halfway through the season. I think, you know, that it's just about next year, finding a defense, finding a pass rush, reestablishing a run game, protecting the quarterback, but planning for the 2020 season. And the Jaguars, I called it several weeks ago. Everyone thought that they would ride with Foles no matter what happened. I think the way to go is with Minshew. I think he gives that team a spark. But no DJ Chark today. Like I said, I still think the Falcons are playing hard. Matty Ice is still one of the better quarterbacks in this league. He's got Julio back. Freeman's starting to run. So I think the Falcons are going to win this one at home today. And I think that you can look for a big game from Julio, who hasn't had his typical, you know, once or twice a season is, you know, 200 yard, 13 catch, 2 touchdown type of games. And I think you might see that out of him today.
Nacho, your thoughts on the game, Jaguars versus the Falcons, and your fantasy pick?
Oh, man. The crazy thing about the Jaguars is the fact they paid all that money to Nick Foles and he gets them exactly 0 wins while the rookie comes in and has all 5 of their victories. And on the Atlanta side, you look at the long stretch of, what was it, 7 in a row or something like that, that they lost 6 or 7 in a row. And then you look at the last 6, 4 victories, 3 against divisional opponents. You win the last game against the Buccaneers. You're 4-2 in the division. You've beaten the 49ers. You show some life on a game-winning drive with Matt Ryan and newly revived Julio. So I'm going to go with Atlanta in this game in a close one, 31-24. And the fantasy pick, even though he's only got 15 points in his last 5 games, Julio, I expect a huge game from Julio today, and that's my fantasy pick.
Nice.
Your thoughts on the game? Who do you like in a fantasy player that goes off?
Well, it's a clean sweep for me. I'll roll with the Falcons, and I'll go with the quarterback, Matt Ryan.
I should have just went around the table and said, is there anybody that thinks that the Jaguars will go into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to steal this game from the Falcons? I'm going to go Falcons as well. And I'm like caught up on which way I want to go. You know, I got to go into passing game. So I'll go with Matty Ice as well. I'll go with Matty Ice. The crazy part is the Jags have been playing good defense as of late, especially when they stuffed the run up against the Raiders. And the Raiders do have an underrated, huge offensive line to try and push a lot of these defensive lines around. They were not having it, and they were beating them up and stuffing the run and put that game back into Derek Carr's hands, and Derek Carr fell short. So that's one. Okay, the next game that we do have is the Battle of Cleveland. Let me just say it like that. The old Cleveland Browns, a.k.a. the Baltimore Ravens, are going up against the new Cleveland Browns. Is there anybody that thinks the Browns can protect their house in Cleveland as they've beaten the Ravens early in the season and give them one of those two losses on the season?
Yes, I do.
Oh, we got one.
I said it. So, I do. I'm going there.
So you're going Browns.
I mean, Baltimore's the better team. I would be a lot more confident if Cleveland hadn't given them one of their two losses, because the Ravens are coming in with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, obviously. But, you know, Cleveland has nothing left to play for this season. It's been a disappointing season. So what better motivation and what better way to salvage anything than to try and play spoiler for the Ravens? And I just think at some point Baltimore's got to come back down to earth. I said a while ago, I don't see them running the table through the regular season, through the playoffs. Lamar Jackson has looked a little bit more human, even though he's locked up that MVP 100%. But, yeah, I like Cleveland to pull off the upset today.
Okay. Do you have a fantasy pick that you're going with before I write that down?
For them to do it, Baker's got to have a huge day. Baker's got to have his best game of the season, so I'll go with Baker.
He's going with a chef. Okay. So everybody else is going Ravens, correct?
Correct.
I agree. And the crazy part about this is, they feel like this could be blowout fashion. So this is what I'm concerned about. The spread is 10. They have Baltimore favored by 10, and this is in Cleveland. Something is up. Let me just say this, though, and I know that Vegas got something to do with this damn spread, but here it goes. If the Ravens win this game by more than 10 points, they already had that steamrolling ball of Kitchens being out of here. You can guarantee he will be on his way out of Cleveland, Ohio, at the end of the season. I don't know if they'll pull the trigger at the end of this game. They might as well just let him finish out week 17 and see how things go. But I think he will definitely be out the door, especially with they looking like Baltimore. This is one of the top scoring offenses that we've seen in NFL history. They're up there. They're putting up those type of points. So they could electrify the defense. We will see. Here goes another one. Is there anybody that believes the Titans could win this game at home up against the New Orleans Saints, in which Derrick Henry is ruled out?
I believe they can win it, but I'm picking the Saints.
Okay, that's like
saying all things are possible, right?
Hey.
But just not probable.
I just want to be fair.
I had a rough week of picks last week, so I'm just trying to, you know, cover as much ground as possible.
Oh yeah! I got those numbers down. Don't worry. Your boy was good last time. I'm gonna do this again. Is there anybody in this doggone kitchen that feels that the Titans can win this game and protect their house up against the Saints? Okay, we're gonna
cricket.
I served the bowl of that soup. Okay, we got the soup. We got. We got the soup. Okay. Crackers. We got oyster crackers to go in that soup. Okay. The next matchup I have, and this is an interesting game too. The Carolina Panthers are going into Indianapolis up against the Colts, in which the Colts are favored by 6.5, a touchdown. I don't know what Colts team you're going to get. The Panthers, I'm going to say this right now. I may get an argument in the kitchen. I don't care. They are not moving from Cam Newton. It looked good when Kyle Allen was on that little start. They fell clearly off a cliff, and they've been losing like crazy. So I'm not too sold on Kyle Allen being the future for this team. I'm not sold on it. But, hey, I've seen other things. They may end up shipping Cam somewhere else. I don't know if he leaves. I think they're going to give him one more run next year to see if he really has nothing left in the tank before they get rid of him, because Kyle Allen had the man to ship for the remainder of the season, but they're 5-9. When they look like they were a team that's going to be in playoff contention, I may be wrong. I may be wrong. I don't think they're done with Cam just yet. But let me get this one around the kitchen to see how you guys feel about it. Nacho, your thoughts on this game. Panthers, Colts, who do you like in fantasy pick?
Oh, man. Fast and easy. I'm going to take the Colts at home. And, I'll go with Brissett.
Okay. Royce, who do you like in this game and your fantasy player to go off in the game?
Well, I like how you kind of opened it up. You know, I'm never sure what Colt team is going to show up, having been a resident Indianapolis like the last 25 years.
Right.
And ever since that guy, Peyton Manning kind of like moved on and retired and all that kind of good stuff, you just didn't know what you were getting. Give me the Colts today. And fantasy pick-wise, I don't know why I'm hearing Eric Ebron. Is he available?
Which player? I'm sorry, can I hear? Ebron? Oh, Eric. Ebron? I'm not. Is he a go? I have to see. I'm looking at the injury report right now. I'm pretty sure that I thought he was down. Okay, and looking at the injury report, no, he is available, so he is playing.
Yeah.
So I got you. I'll go with Ebron. He's a go. Okay. Aaron, who do you like in this matchup and your fantasy pick?
I mean, I feel like this is a case where both teams, you don't really know what you're going to get. And I actually do disagree with you, Ty. I think the Panthers are moving on from Cam. Cam's moving on from the Panthers. I never really thought that Allen was the key to this. I thought this was going to happen regardless of how Allen finished out playing the season. I think that they're coming in next year with a new coach, and I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft. I think they're going to end up drafting a quarterback and maybe keep Allen there and have him battle it out. But I do not think he is their answer at quarterback. I think Cam's gone either way. I could see Cam landing somewhere, like I said, in Tampa with all those offensive weapons and Bruce Arians kind of re-energized, giving it one more go. But this is a game too. You have both quarterbacks with a lot to play for because they're both playing for a job next year, whether it be in their respective cities or somewhere else. But with that said, another thing I kind of want to throw out there too is, you know, is Andrew Luck really done? Is he going to take a year away and maybe reevaluate, get healthy, miss the game and come back? Or, you know, things have been quiet there. So just something to think about going forward. But I like the Colts at home to end this four-game losing streak. I think Brissett will have a solid game, but I think they'll win because of Marlon Mack. And when he's run the ball effectively, they've had a lot better results. So I'm going with the Colts and Mack.
I think it was a sweep. I'm going to go Colts as well. I'm gonna go with my name. I'm going to go with T.Y. How about that? But when you said – what did you just say right now, Aaron?
Marlon Mack, or we talking about Andrew Luck or Marlon Mack or Brissett?
Yeah, Andrew Luck. There you go. There you go. Andrew Luck. You said Andrew Luck coming back.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
I just mean in general. Not necessarily the Colts.
At that point in time, He was coaching the Indianapolis Colts, too. That's why I had to put that plug in, too. But, look, his father's already...
You always got to fit that in.
His father's already, like, spearheading the situation in XFL. He came back to AB, I think it'd be the XFL, but he could not play himself trying to fake retire before the season goes off. And I still remember everybody's face in the Lucas Oil Stadium looking at him run off the field as he retired on the sideline. I don't think he could win the organization back or anything. I don't know. I think Brissett is the guy right now. But they have to put some pieces together. But I think this is a clean sweep. I'm going Colts as well. And T.Y. Hilton for sure to be my guy for the fantasy game or fantasy pick reason. And this is interesting because the fantasy reason, I want to see how this does end up panning out coming into the next draft and next season, if they do get rid of Cam at the end of this season or what. But I don't know if they're ready for the straight rebuild or try to do this Interesting. We'll see. Just like you said, the new coach is coming too also. Okay, the next game is very intriguing. The Cincinnati Bengals go into Miami up against the Dolphins. Both of these teams are piss poor. And the crazy part about this is a lot of these games have been happening with either the Bengals or the Dolphins. The Bengals are 1-13. The Dolphins are 3-11. I will throw this one around the kitchen. Royce, your thoughts on this game and what player goes off? I don't even know. I don't even know if there's a player to pick. I just be fair and just let you pick a team. If you want to throw a player for fantasy purpose, you can. Your thoughts on this game and a player that may have a big successful game.
Well, I'm in and out. I'm going with the Miami Dolphins and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay, he's going with Fitzmagic. Here we go. Aaron, your thoughts on this game and fantasy player.
You know, I'll be quick, too, and I'm rolling with you. I love me some Fitzmagic. I love the way he's playing. I love the way that he still plays every play like it could be his last. The Dolphins are gearing up to play major spoiler next week in New England, and I like them to beat the Bengals today, and I'm going with Fitzmagic, and he's got his big new receiver back that he loves and Devontae Parker. So that's my pick.
Nacho, who do you like, Bengals, Dolphins in your fantasy?
Dolphins, and I'll go with the tight end, Mike Gesicki.
You just wanted to say his name.
Nittany Lyons, huh? Okay, this is tough for me. Man. Yeah, I'm about to keep it going. Another clean sweep, because the reason why I don't want to go with the Bengals is they don't even know who they want at quarterback, but I think Dalton is the go right now. And I'll go with Parker as well. I'll go with Parker, but I'm not sold on Andy Dalton. I feel bad for how Andy Dalton's career may come to a screeching halt. Like it may be over after Cincinnati. I don't know what team is going to push the button to try and get.
I'll give you 100 million reasons not to feel bad for Andy Dalton.
Oh yeah, I know. I know he's paid.
All right,
he got money.
So,
I'm talking about him playing again.
I'm talking about him playing again.
I'm not talking about what he has. That's the one thing. Let me clear the air right here now. Like, I do this, you know, like looking at other people that analyze games or players or sports. I don't follow their money movement. Like that. That's the one thing that I don't do. I'm not worried about no man's pocket like that, like unless they are a super billionaire like Jeff Bezos. If I'm looking at what Jeff Bezos does, then it's like, okay. But other than that, when they play in the game, I'm worried about what they can do on the court, the field, or however we're looking at the sport or what they're supposed to do. Like, I understand he got a lot of dough in his last contract, but I'm not worried about that. Like I said, I don't know. If Andy Dalton ends up playing again. But I know some team may bring him. It doesn't make him a part of a roster. He may be a backup somewhere, but we'll see. The next game I have, I feel tough about this one. Is there anybody that believes the Jets can steal this game up against the Steelers, in which this game is in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey? Okay. Everybody.
Cricket.
Everybody. I'm writing it down, though. Everyone. Okay. We have that. Okay, so we have another interesting game in which both of these teams are tied at 3-11. The Giants are going to Landover, Maryland to play the Redskins. Who do you like in this game and why? I'm going to go first, actually. This is tough for me. But I'm gonna go with the Giants on the road to get this game won. I think they're gonna try and give Eli as much of an interesting package to leave on. I don't think he messes this up too much, but he's been back to the old Eli self. He hasn't been throwing these picks as well. So I'm gonna go with the Giants to win this game, and fantasy pick, I'm gonna go with Slayton as the receiver of the game for this one. We throw this one around the kitchen. Aaron, your thoughts on this game and your fantasy pick?
I'm actually rolling with you, Ty. I'm going to go with Eli. I think just this is
Daniel Jones is the starter. Before you guys continue,
they are going back to Jones. My mistake. Okay, my mistake. I'm working a lot. But I still think Slayton. That's where I'm going with you, Ty. I think Slayton's been one of the few bright spots for the Giants this year. He's really emerged as a reliable target. I was going to say for both quarterbacks seem to like him. But regardless of quarterback, I think the Giants pull out the win, and Slayton's a big part of the reason why.
Okay, Royce, your thoughts on this game and fantasy pick?
Wow, this game is going to be ugly. So I'm just going to go. I'm just going with my gut instinct. I'm going with Redskins, and I'm going with AP, Adrian Peterson.
Okay. I like that.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not either.
That's interesting. Look, this game is basically a pick'em. The Giants are favored by one. You got to win by 1 point. So this is basically a pick'em. So however you go with it, this is a very interesting game. Nacho, you are closer to no. Royce is in the Valley, so you're close to the Valley. Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I think the interesting part about this one is you got a front four in Washington that actually is pretty good. They can get pressure on the quarterback, as we've seen most of the year. And you have a front five in New York Giants that just is not good. They haven't played well, spent a lot of money on Solder. Jalapio is probably the only bright spot, and he's still not playing at mediocre levels. So you move the needle to the fact that they have the – 10 games with 2-plus turnovers, most in the NFL, all probably because their quarterback can't hold onto the ball. You move on from one who can't stop throwing interceptions, and the guy that you move on to, oh, my goodness, he can throw the ball, but, man, he can't hold on to it, so he's fumbling it. So you go from one turnover to now the next turnover in Daniel Jones. So it doesn't look good for them. I'm going to go the Redskins. And the fantasy players will be the Redskins' defense, multiple turnovers, and I think they hold them to under 10 points.
Wow. He said that.
Wow. I'm actually kind of not mad at that either.
To hold them under 10. You said this is under 10. I got to write that down. Jeez.
Yeah, I think Dwayne Haskins has a good game. They put up about 17, maybe 21, and then that defense of the Redskins just gets to Daniel Jones, creates multiple turnovers, if not stalls multiple drives. They got a punt, and they win the game, running away maybe 7 to 10 points at the most for the Giants. And I give that to Slayton. I think that kid's pretty good. I'll give him one touchdown.
Okay, this hurts. This hurts right here. Is there anybody that believes the Lions can go into Denver and win this game up against the Broncos? Damn, everybody quiet. This is horrible, man. You want to know?
Sorry, man.
Look, and this is the crazy part about this. Galladay still leading the league and receive a touchdown. I was like, how are we not doing work? Like, how did this happen, man? David Blau, you are really that bad. Like, you look good. You had a spark when you started, but now you're just garbage. Like, oh, my goodness. Everybody Broncos. Sorry, Hope. I had to steal that line, man. Then Matt Patricia's getting a job back next year. Like, come on, man. Get Quinn and them out of there. They're already doing it. Here goes the madness. Okay. The next game I have is the Oakland Raiders that will be the Las Vegas. And it's crazy. And it's interesting that I got Keezy in the building because we just were together in Vegas. But just watching everybody put up the Las Vegas Raiders and seeing how it rolls while you say it is so cool. But and going through, riding around the stadium, I put a picture up in front of their stadium too. The stadium already looks awesome and they ain't even finished. So, but the Raiders going into L.A. up against the Chargers, and the Chargers get their new stadium next year too, and all the talk has been around the Las Vegas stadium, but the Chargers, to me, I thought that they had the clear-cut hottest stadium coming in. Both of them, the division situation, this is interesting, but I don't know which way to go. If Derek Carr just continues to look horrible, or if Phillip Rivers is on his last leg in L.A., I think they may end up moving on from him. It's too many storylines in this game. I thought it was on Around the Kitchen. Nacho, I'll let you go first. your other team, Raiders or the Chargers?
Shoot, I don't know, man. Like you said, it's both teams are going to be juggling high. You don't know who you're going to get. The Raiders will come out and look like a top team in the AFC some weeks and look like the bottom-dwelling Browns the next week. So it's like, what's going on? The same with Phillip Rivers in that offense. Again, we don't know if it's Melvin Gordon. We don't know what's going on. Austin Eckler, we don't know if it's because he's not getting enough playing with the one times. He gets thrown to the side immediately as soon as Melvin Gordon comes back. How mentally does he feel? Does he want to play for this team? So it's such a what's going on. And then conversely, on the defense for both teams, you got defenses with young players like Max Crosby, and of course I know he's not too young, but the other Gordon on defense, and you look at that. Well, what's going on with their teams in the division, and how both these teams had a chance a few weeks ago with the injury of Patrick Mahomes to kind of take control or kind of put some pressure on the Chiefs, and they both flopped face first and put up horrible performances. I say that to say, I'm rolling with Derek Carr and the Oakland, Las Vegas, whatever you want to call them now. Can't wait till they're there so I can have an excuse to make that trip. And then my fantasy pick will be I'll go with Derek Carr on the offense as well.
Okay, Aaron, your thoughts on this game and your fantasy pick? Oh, wait, hold on, Aaron. I'm sorry, we're getting the background feedback. Hold on, okay, Aaron, I'm sorry. Your thoughts on the game and your fantasy pick?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the biggest story coming out of this game is just that both of the teams are heading off into new stadiums, have underperformed, very similar storylines. I think Phillip Rivers, he's just programmed to go in and be competitive and do everything he can. He's never going to tank a game or not try and win it. And for that reason, I think the Chargers will win. The Raiders, just ever since that Jets debacle, just can't seem to get things right. Not totally healthy, all of that. Derek Carr, I'm not sure what has happened to him because he looked very capable a couple weeks ago, and it's just gone left since then. So I'm going with the Chargers, and Rivers is due for a big game, and he looked better last week, so I'm going to go with him as my fantasy.
What's your thoughts on the game and your fantasy pick?
I'm going to go with my new home team when they get here, the Raiders.
Uh-oh.
And it looks like this Josh Jackson is out, and I'm going with whoever starts in his place at the running back, whether that's Washington or Richard. I don't know which one got the starting call or gets the nod, but yeah, I'm going with the running back.
Okay. This is tough for me. I don't know which way to go. Big wheels keep on turning. Proud Mary keep on burning. I'm rolling. Whatever. This is tough for me. This is really tough because how bad Derek Carr looked at the end of that game last week up against the Jaguars. I'm not sold. Even if they go 8-8, like, they may have to get away from him. They may have to get away from him. This is tough to watch. And Phil Rivers, like I said, this will probably be his last couple of games with this Chargers team. He's already over 4,000 yards passing. He's going to always give them consistent passing yards, but he's never going to turn the leaf. I think the closest he's gotten was that 2007 AFC Championship game in which he played on the torn ACL up against the Patriots, and I clearly tip my hat to him. But I think he's done here. I think he'll probably be on another roster somewhere else and be a second string, a backup. I don't know if he'll go somewhere and get a starting job, even though he has the qualifications to do so. But I'm going with the Chargers, and I'll go with Melvin Gordon. I think Gordon goes off today. How about that? the game of the day, and this is interesting that I already gave the Raiders pick out here, and Royce out here going Raiders, this, that, and third. But Royce's Cowboys are on the road up against the Eagles, and people, he's on the plank, and he's about to jump ship in the Vegas. I can't believe this. I can't believe him. You know what I'm saying? But I understand the plot. I understand the plot. So it's cool. Like what? I still argue with them. I don't care. That's family. We do it. But the Cowboys are going up into Philly up against the Eagles, in which this is making it even tougher for the Eagles. Not only is Alshon Jeffrey on the IR as of, 2 weeks ago, they are playing this game without Nelson Aguilar. Is there anybody that believes the Eagles can protect their house in Philadelphia up against these Cowboys? Nobody. Everybody is void out. Okay. Now, Cardinals versus Seahawks, this game is in Seattle. Is there anybody that feels the Cardinals can go into Seattle and knock off the 12th man and Russell Wilson? Everyone. Seahawks. Okay, and the night game is the Chiefs and the Bears. The Chiefs go into Soldier Field. The Chiefs are favored by a touchdown in Chicago. Is there anybody that feels the Bears can knock off the Chiefs?
Yes, I'm going Bears.
Oh, we have one. We have one.
Okay. Yes. Yep. In Chicago, I like the Bears.
But everybody else is going Chiefs, correct?
Yeah, I'm going Chiefs.
Okay, and last but not least, this is tough, right? Divisional game in which the Vikings have been playing ball. This could potentially be for the division lead. The Packers go into U.S. Bank Stadium up against the Vikings. Is there anybody that believes that the Vikings can win this game without Dalvin Cook in the backfield?
I'm picking the Vikings.
Oh, Keezy, there we go. There we go.
Yeah, I don't have any great intellectual reason why, other than, you know, it's Packers, it's Vikings. And the history between the two franchises, I think sparks usually fly. And when I look at the standings and where they are, without really, you know, been completely locked into this regular season to say who's playing better at what point in time, it's Packers versus Vikings. And I just think, you know, Vikings have home field advantage. I'm looking at the line. The Vikings are favored by 5.5 at what I'm doing. And so I'm going Vikings.
Okay.
This is one of those, for me, where my heart, I want the Vikings to win, but without Cook, if I'm picking it analytically and from, I think, who will end up winning the game, I think the Packers will pull this out. This is Aaron Rodgers' kind of game, and he knows how critical it is for them to get that home game and perhaps a chance at a bye. But I definitely don't think it's going to be a blowout or one-sided, and would not be at all surprised if the Vikings won this game. So I'm having a hard time picking because I really like to see them win this game.
So I'm going to try this again. Everybody else is going Packers? Everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone Packers. And here goes the crazy part. Everybody, like, forgot about Aaron Rodgers. Like Aaron Rodgers was without pieces, and this offense is this offense that. These guys are atop the NFC North. Like, that was tough. But, I mean, the Vikings have given them some push, 11-3, and all of his weapons haven't been there other than the running back. Like, his committee has changed.
But that
and
running
game has
been huge.
I'm telling you the running game. Okay, he hasn't had consistent from Jimmy Graham also. So, this is interesting. But the funny part about this is the Vikings are favored by 5.5. Something very fishy
what?
Is going on right here. Yeah. They're favored by 5.5.
That doesn't
make sense. Hey, there's a city in the valley that I just was in. Royce is there. They do some funny stuff there.
That's
they do some funny
Vikings,
stuff.
Man. I mean,
right.
I don't got to be a genius. I'm just reading.
I'm cooking, bro. I'm trying to cook. Okay. So we got to shut it down here. A very interesting show. Getting back into the kitchen. I'll let Aaron set it off first. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we get out of the brunch on a Sunday morning.
Well, it was good to have you back, Ty. Good to be back on the brunch. Missed it last week. Royce and Nacho, was awesome having you guys on. I think you guys have a lot of very intelligent, insightful things to say. I like it. And I just want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, happy holidays. Hope everyone has a great week, and I will hopefully talk to y'all next Sunday back in the brunch.
Okay, Nacho fell off. Royce, you already know what to do. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, and we shut down the brunch here on a Sunday afternoon.
Shout out to Sports City as always. Shout out to the host, the co-host, everyone doing what they do, all the chefs that contribute at a high level. And shouting out as we transition from a full day of NFL football this Sunday, today, to be specific, then we know we got Monday Night Football. Christmas Day is what, Wednesday? Do I have that right?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm trying to...
Crazy.
Okay, so you know, I'm trying to get Timeless to put together a special edition of the MasterChef Crossover Cafe. At some point, anytime during Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, maybe we'll just go that route. I don't know what his schedule looks like, so you know, if y'all interested in that, you know, tweet at Timeless, hit him up on Facebook, tell him how you feel about the situation. I'm out.
You know, of course, he keep pushing me around. He pushing me all around. Like he pushing me in the kitchen. All I'm trying to do is put out some good old food for thought. You know what I'm saying? I went out in the valley. He started pushing me around in the valley. I'm like, yo, listen, man. I ain't no, you know what I'm saying? I feel some type of way, man. I was about to fight, man. But I'm like, yo, there's already a fight going on out here, man. I don't need no record, no stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And he keep pushing me around all up in here. So, you know what? We may pop up with the cafe tomorrow. How about that? I'm about to do it like that. I'm about to just get him right back in here. Talk some round ball and get these boys back in the building because Christmas Eve, there's that seven seafood, you know, dish. I got a bunch of Italians that I hang around. They tell my Ty, you better come to the seven fishes. I'm like, you ain't got to tell me twice. I know I got to get my fix in with my seafood. So I know I got to talk to Keezy, Nas, get us back in here for the cafe, and we at least get a Monday and a Thursday. So you get a double dose of at least us in the building. In the kitchen, because I miss so much time being out there in the valley kicking in with the fam, a.k.a. the Kangs and things. But I'm feeling some type of way. Glad to be back in the kitchen. Glad to breathe a little bit. Back to reality. Got to get back to the family, man. Family lost a loved one, man. I know it's going to be deep. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, got lost in the sauce while I was gone. But I got to recover, retract my steps. But on that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.